この街を生きていく術なんだ。果てない夢を見てる君だって見てるはず。
Hey everyone, welcome back to Captain Earth, episode 25, the final episode, titled Captain Earth. That's kind of a silly title for me, but it's fine. And I have Skyline here.
Hello.
Yep, so we're here to talk about the final episode. You know, for those who stuck around, you know, I'll give you guys a medal. You know, I would high-five you, but, you know, we're on the internet, so it's kind of hard.
Ritual high-five. Stick them up, folks. Stick them up. I'm doing it now. Right. Got it? You got it? Okay. Boom! Boom! There we go.
Yeah, sort of, basically, recap the episode. It's basically Puck versus Daichi and the Planetary Gears, with Puck finally revealing, you know, last episode that he was, he has the ego block too, as well as, you know, like the other people. And his is probably the biggest ego block I've seen, which I guess it works because he is, you know, full of himself. So.
It was the most evil looking bento box I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I was calling him a lunchbox last time. He is. And of course, you know, we've learned since episode, you know, I think one or two, that ego block, you can't destroy it despite, you know, blowing it up. You kind of have to, unless you're Puck, you can blow it up, but sometimes you have to, you know, be willing to sacrifice it. That's the only way to get rid of it sometimes. But yeah. Puck found a way around that, I guess. So, but the main plot of this, for him, is he wants to take over Hana's body and assimilate the bloom to himself and become this all-powerful god. But
yeah, he wants to be the guy that controls both the ego block energy and the live blast energy. He wants it all.
Yeah, he wants to be a hybrid of both. And doing so, he, you know, takes over Hana's body relatively fast. I was surprised how quick that was. After he blew past everyone, and so he gets her body, and she's all like evil looking. I like the new version, white hair, and the new outfit she's wearing. I like that.
the way she tossed her head back, and the way it was going, you know, kind of as she went from you know, full nude in the bloom, and how she tossed her head back, I was almost expecting a Kill la Kill style transformation.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, it was there almost. Yeah, I can see that. Reminds me of the Kill la Kill OVA, just an alternate version, just recolored. It was kind of cool. I did that. But yeah, he does that and basically transforms the bloom into a giant robot, which I'm not sure how he did that, but I guess just because he's got all these abilities. I don't know. That's kind of weird.
We'll just say that at any given point, the bloom can turn into a super mecha.
Right, yeah, I assume so, yeah. That's pretty much. And, you know, I guess he's able to do that because he has all this energy saved up. And my theory was on that is, you know, he has a lot of libido energy, so I'm guessing, like, maybe that's what he used Kyubey for. You know, he's, you know, getting up with all these girls, so that's kind of the energy he's building up by using that.
That's not a bad idea, but they never once explained what libido energy was in the context of the show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, libido energy was a farcical, widely disproved theory hypothesis, like back from the 1910s.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that thing I've written about. It was like banned or whatever, the study or something like that at some point.
Didn't necessarily have to be banned. It basically fell under fraud. You know, the guy that developed it, so-called psychologist that developed it, he had people sit in these little cubicles that had alternating layers of organic and inorganic material. That captured all the libido energy that was out there in the universe, and it was supposed to cure you. Just like any shyster out there, he got showed the shingle.
Right. I know that energy's been brought up in Captain Earth, and it was also in Star Driver. There's some mentions of certain energy in that for, I guess, the whatever they were there in that series,
My long time thought about libido energy is it was just talking about, you know, adolescent hormones when you get right down to it.
Right, yeah, that's the thing what they're trying to say with this, because, you know, obviously the main cast is all teenagers, and you know, love is kind of the theme, and that gets played a little bit later, but when Puck took over Hana's body, he tried to fire the Live Luster, but it wouldn't work, because obviously it's not the real Hana, so the Live Luster's like, no, I'm not going to fire. So he gets a little aggravated with that, and his next plot is, well, I'm just going to destroy the Earth, and screw it.
can't have all this limitless energy, might as well settle for your next best goal, and that's destroy an entire planet.
Right, just go down there and just feed on the humans and just wipe it out. But, you know, he warps away and Daichi, you know, follows, because obviously it's Hana, he needs to save her. And, yeah, that whole, then they have this whole scene where Daichi solo 1v1 against this massive robot, and he does pretty good, but he still gets destroyed. I never considered Daichi a good mech pilot, in my opinion.
Determined. Always determined.
Right, he is. And it's like, oh, this $1 million mech I'm filing, I'm just going to keep destroying it. So yeah, I'm like wondering at the end if they're going to say, like, oh, how much does it cost to repair this robot every time they do it, but it's fine.
Yeah.
And when Daichi finally gets through the robot and he gets to Hana and he kisses Puck, basically. I was like, he basically made out with Puck, and then Hana takes her body back again. It's pretty funny.
Yep, she remembers. She remembers deep inside.
Yeah, so Puck basically, you know, a little yaoi, if you want to think about it that way, but it's not really. It is funny, though, she took her body back over, and, you know, it screws Puck's plan over, and he's just like, okay, fine, next plan, I'm just going to drop the mech on Earth and just blow it up. And so it's like Daichi's just the thorn in his side this whole episode. He's like, everything he planned, like, nope, you can't do that. And
I got a plan for that, too. We're just going to destroy the thing from the inside.
Yeah, and they just fire laser beams like all over the place, blowing up from the
inside.
And
they crossed the streams, you know.
Yeah, they did. Little Ghostbusters there for the people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's pretty much how they stop Puck. You know, the Live Luster just pierced through his impenetrable shield, I guess. But, yeah, and they kind of destroy him. And basically that's the episode. I mean, it ends with, like, Daichi and Hana kind of together looking at the sky. I guess they're back on Earth, but that's really all you see. And then, like I said, it ends right there. And there's no hint of another season, no movie hint, no. And there's nothing with any characters, so you don't know what happens to the Gears. Akari and Tepe, you know, Globe and Salty Dog and all them, you don't know what happens to them. So it's kind of, I would say, a rushed ending.
It was a rushed ending, but I think you can kind of take from context what they had going on there, because, you know, without the threat of the Guilty Gang or anything like that, that pretty much spells the end of Salty Dog.
Right, that's true.
You know, there's no need for that Inception faction or Arc faction infighting anymore. It looks like the Planetary Gears, they're stuck in their fleshy avatar bodies, only with Malko hightailing it, not wanting to face up to that.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, Setsuna can, I obviously assume that she could just revive the other ones, but, yeah, so it's like, it almost makes you wonder what are they going to do next? Like, would they go back to Earth and continue the mission, or are they going to change plans? Because, like, well, you know, they've been screwed over by the humans so many times. I know a few of them see that way, but I know Setsuna kind of feels for the humans a little bit. As long as she's lived with them, she's kind of, you know, developed some kind of feelings towards them, but in the end, she still doesn't really, I don't think she'll trust the humans fully. But, yeah.
It might take some time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, what did you think of the final episode? Was it, you know, lived up to everything you expected, or not really?
Yeah, you know, with a lot of, you know, bombastic-style mech shows like this, which I have to admit I have limited experience with, it just kind of feels like instead of going for, like, a resolute kind of plot-by-plot ending, you go for a more emotional ending. You go for something which leaves you satisfied in that way.
Yeah, I almost feel they could go with, you know, another episode to explain all the after effects, what happened afterwards. You know,
a wrap-up would be nice. Perhaps an OVA will explain that.
I know there's a PSP game coming out, which is, like I guess it's like a party game, but they're supposed to have like an OVA with that, but I don't think it has anything to do with the series. I think it's just like for the game players, I guess. But
it might be interesting.
But yeah, I mean, like you said, it would be nice to have some kind of like conclusion, you know, something like how all the, you know, all the kids going to school again together or something like that would be interesting. Akari and Tepe, maybe. What, you know, what happens to them, you know, there's a lot of things they could even do a time skip where, you know, Daichi has taken over Globe, and he's the, you know, leader of that group now, and, you know.
That would be pretty good.
You have, like, all of them are older, and maybe they got married, and I don't know, something like that would be kind of interesting.
A Harry Potter ending, perhaps, you know?
Right, something like that, maybe their kids are now, you know, exploring space now. Something like that would be interesting, but...
That'd be good, because I kind of, when you get right down to it, preferred some of the, when they were actually, above Earth, in space and orbit, doing all those kind of things. It kind of felt a little bit more like a science fiction show at that point.
Right, I did. Yeah. So, I mean, that's my only complaint. I mean, for me, Bones and Mechs really don't go hand in hand for me. Every series they've done as far as robots has kind of been a rushed ending. AO is a big mess. Star Driver, it's cool till the very end, and the end's just very rushed. It's like, and even I saw the movie recently, and even the movie ending's, I think the movie ending's better than the TV ending, but I mean, that's obvious because they have more time to work on it. So,
but, yeah, I've yet to see the movie for Star Driver, but I did see the end of the television series, and that was a dog pile.
Yeah, Bones has a bad habit of that. A lot of their shows have to end with kind of rushed ending. From my experience, anyway, I think the best is probably Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, because we actually got a conclusion ending for that. I could go on with a list of shows, but most of them is just hit or miss for their endings. But anyway, we're gonna go to a series review, and I guess some questions for both of us. But my question to you is: was your original thought, when you saw the trailer for Captain Earth, what did you think, and did your opinion change since? Since the first few episodes, did you like it or not really?
You watch anime as a hobby, you give everything a little try when you get right down to it. So initially, I think beyond that, what made me not turn it out of hand at all was just it had really good character design, and it looked like it had really good mech design as well. Plus, some of the initial images showed like those ego blocks shooting out of somewhere and careening across space, and I went, "Well, that's a neat little visual. I'd like to see what they're building up off of that." So, no real thought. I mean, I took the show as it was, as it came. As it came out, it was a good little mech show.
Yeah, I have to agree on some of that. Some of the promo art was interested me in this, and at first I think I wasn't going to blog it because, like I said, past experience with Bones and Mechs really weren't that high up there. I know me and J-Ro started the mini talk for this series. It was like, we just came off of Erica AO, and that was just a big mess. And we were kind of hesitant on this show because, again, past experience with Bones and Mechs told us that, it's not going to be the greatest show ever, but like I said, it did have entertaining points, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, the characters kind of made the show. And animation-wise, I've never seen an episode that dipped in animation. They're pretty much, solid for 25 episodes, which is sort of rare. Some shows have high production value, and then you get the shots that are like, the faces are messed up, or from that, far away, but they didn't have any of that in this series that I can remember. And as far as my, after the series ended, it still feels the same. I probably wouldn't recommend this to anybody that wants to get into mechs. I mean, it's kind of like, saying Valvrave, mention that, that's how easy he laughed at, because Valvrave's not, not really a mech, I sure it's most
people. It seems like I've dipped my big toe into, like, a Sunrise mech outside of Valvrave, or anything like that. It always seems that there's a whole lot more crunchy bits going on, and as far as the tech is considered.
Yeah, that's true.
This one painted everything in really broad swaths and just said, let's just get to whatever action, whatever characterization, whatever politicizing we want to do between these factions, and let's just go with that.
I think I would have liked more if they didn't have so many mech battles of the week and during the middle of the series, like the Planetary Gear of the Week. If they would have combined a few of them to, three shot and to get it all done at one time, it would probably be better. But, yeah, I guess just, I almost feel like the Planetary Gears had too many characters. They got rid of maybe two of them. I think it'd probably be better.
Yeah. I mean, there were times when I just approached so much fatigue with it. I was just like, "Gosh, another one, really?"
Yeah, like
why is this one different? How is this one different?
Yeah, like the bike.
I like Bugbear.
Yeah, Bugbear. He's interesting, but it's like the redhead. They can get rid of him. I didn't care for him really. They could have got rid of the bike girl Lynn. She's cool and all, but after she did her thing, she didn't do anything. It was like Bugbear and the other guys did more than those two. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe just kept it to Amrock and Mocha, and then that'd about be it. That would have been nice, too, because, but whatever.
Just kind of pump up their power instead of making first amongst Team Rocket.
Yeah, pretty much. And my next question would be, do you fit pairing? There's not a lot. I mean, well, I guess there are a lot of pairs in this show, but yeah.
Yeah, some pairs. Well, given that I enjoyed Akari, I'll go for Akari and Tepe.
Yeah, I like
cute,
them,
especially.
Yeah. Part of me almost feels like they were the main focus, but eh.
Ah, hey, Daichi and Hana were not bad. I thought they were cute as well, but you know, I kind of like Akari.
Yeah, Akari has more like attitude, I think. I think some of her best moments probably were when she got kidnapped by the Gears and she just like didn't bend to them at all and was just like. She's like, I'm not scared at all of these, you know, these two aliens that could kill me, but
screw you! I'm just gonna nuke everybody.
Yeah,
why not?
Pretty much. And well, but the downside of her character is, again, most people, you know, she's the get out of jail free card for a lot of the episodes, which is fine. In the end, she, you know, contributes her own to the team in her own way.
If I were in that metaphorical jail, I would not mind her showing up.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And from my favorite pairing, I like Akari, you know, and Tepe like you. But I almost feel like, you know, Amarok and Mocha near the end, they could have did something with those as a pair. I mean, they have a long history together since they're children.
He was such a dick. Well, I mean, come on.
Yeah, and that's what everyone's like. Everyone's like, are you blind? Like, what's going on? Oh, that's funny.
What a jerk.
Yeah, as far as Hana and Daichi go, I mean, in the beginning I didn't really like them as much, but they kind of grow on you, and you get, especially in the second half, when you develop her character a lot more. So I think that's nice. Next question for you. If you were in charge of, like, writing the script, is there anything you would change with Captain Earth? Maybe things you would add or things you would remove or alter around?
I already agreed on, you know, dumping most of the Planetary Gear characters in that regard. So that would probably be the first thing. I probably would have made Daichi's involvement with Globe a little bit more in-depth and Tepe's involvement with Globe a little bit more in-depth along those lines. I mean, it was a nice little gotcha kind of surprise within the first episode or two that they could meet each other again after a long period of time. But that didn't really last all that long. And it would have been neat maybe if, you know, Daichi would have followed in his father's footsteps a little bit quicker, and there would have been a little bit more fill-in time, and that way there wouldn't have been that really crazy out there where the mecha fell into him, basically, more or less, at the beginning.
Right, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I kind of agree on that, yeah. No,
and after that, I probably would have maybe expanded the characters' relationships a little bit more.
Right, yeah, that would have been an important thing.
That way there would have been a little bit more creation danger to either one of them getting in trouble. You would have had that, you know, hot teenage blood boiling just a little bit more, and you would have understood it a little bit more.
Right, yeah. I would think, yeah, my change would be kind of similar. I would take out some Gears, and I would take out some of the mech fight of the week. I would take out maybe some of the, you know, I guess, that, especially the transformation, you know, every week. You know, they could easily skip most of that. And
yep.
I would probably throw in some more, maybe some more science, you know, explaining the, you know, libido energy and the whole thing with, you know, Kyubey and, you know, what happened with him, the immortality thing they had a question about. And
yeah.
Yeah, we've done that. And like you said, the pairing
is.
Yeah.
And as a bonus, you know, same thing for Gargantia. You had an arrow artist working for you. Come
right,
on,
yeah,
come
that's
on.
True.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Like that would have been pushed to series like a, you know, the hentai levels. But yeah, I mean, they could have explored something with the relationships. Maybe make the characters a little bit older. I mean, I mean, they're high schoolers, but in my opinion, they come off as middle schoolers to me, more than anything. Maybe because we didn't see...
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, because we didn't see, you know, Daichi in school very much, but it was all one episode. So it's like, we don't really know how he acted in school. I mean, in the beginning of the show, he wasn't interested in that, which is fine. I mean, but yeah, maybe a little older would have worked. But yeah, that's like things I would change, and maybe, I don't know, like you said, expand some characters would be nice. And the next question, now, if you've seen, you know, this show, will you watch other Bones mix, or will you give them a shot, or kind of write them off as well? I don't want to get back invested in something like that again.
No, not really. I mean, generally speaking, I like Star Driver. And generally speaking, I like this show as well. You know, we always talk about endings and how a show ends and different stuff like that. And one of the things that I only know just a little bit about, but something I always keep in the back of my mind is that Japanese writers, they really hate endings too. You know, it's always the process of telling a story that they figure is the most important. The ending is just kind of where we leave off. You know, this is just kind of where we're ending it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and so, you know, that I think is just kind of like a foregone conclusion when you watch any show.
Yeah.
You know, move a relationship by an inch. You know, that's all you do.
Yeah, I think that's the
And,
number
you
one
know,
thing.
or
Yeah.
just kind of have a rushed ending where you have just basically an emotional appeal that works for you instead of having all the plot points kind of line up and figure themselves out or anything like that. But no, it wouldn't scare me off from another Bones Mecha show. Nope.
Yeah, I think as much as I, rag on him sometimes, and I'm a sucker for him. Mecha, no matter what they do with mechs, so I'm usually watching them, regardless of what happens. I'm still watching like M3 and like Evangelion, watching that still. Even
You know,
Valve Rave had its points that made me, kind of laugh, and even Gargantia, which isn't really technically a mecha because there's very limited mecha fighting in that. That has points too, but yeah, Bones. I mean, I think, like you said, all the endings, I think for them maybe it's just they build up too much for it, and it's like, oh, we got all this stuff going on at once, but the ending comes up, and they're like, well, now what? They get kind of, I would say, sidetracked on other things.
Well, you know, compared to how much politicizing both Orca 7 and Orca 7 AO had, I thought they showed a tremendous deal of restraint in this one.
Yeah, they could have easily done a bunch of, like, they could have easily spun something
Oh,
where
yeah.
Daichi's dad went back in time, and comes back to the future and tells them, like, oh, this is going to happen. It could have easily done a bunch of.
Or they had, like, instead of Salty Dog being one complete monolithic bunch of screw bags, they could have had, like, you know, factions within factions within factions. Well, they kind of did do that, but you know what I mean?
Right, yeah, I know what you mean. And yeah, I think I'll watch more of those shows by them. Like you said, the endings. Yeah, I could see them. They're having trouble with some endings. Yeah, next question. Which side do you find more appealing, Globe or the Planetary Gears?
Well, since we spent a good part of this program on two separate occasions basically more or less saying half the gears were useless,
That's true.
that kind of leaves, you know, Globe in the running right there. Actually, what appealing, not such, but intriguing. Go back to Salty Dog. I wanted to know a little bit more about why they were willing to fight such somnolence, why they were willing to fight and intercede and do all this kind of stuff just so they could keep human popsicles around, just in case.
Right, yeah. Like, I want to know more about those people that are frozen in there. We only
Yeah.
saw one with Tepe quoting his father, but we didn't come back at all, which is kind of confusing me. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, why did they even introduce him? I know they give
Holy crap.
Tepe something like kind of a emotional thing, but he didn't do anything.
As a matter of fact, I completely forgot about that guy.
Yeah, me too. I did.
I completely forgot about that screw.
Yeah,
Oh my
he's
goodness.
on Earth doing something. I'm like, I thought for sure he would come back at the end, sacrifice himself to
Yeah,
save his
he's fixing
son.
coffee.
But
He's fixing cars, or he's doing whatever, you know,
yeah,
scoring revolutions.
I completely forgot about him. But yeah, I think I agree with you. Globe, and like you said, Salty Dog was kind of interesting. Maybe it would be interesting to learn about them, why they're doing what they're doing, and especially that Illuminati group they had, in that one room, sitting at that triangle table. It's like, what is their plan? I mean, I know they wanted to, save the world somehow, but they had their own way of doing it. But yeah. I guess we already talked about the overall impression of the series. What is your final score of this? Like, out of 10, like, what would you rate it?
7, 8 on a good day.
Yeah, 7 to 8 seems fair. I mean, that's seems what I would give it to. It's good, but like I said before in the report, I wouldn't recommend it to really anybody that is wanting to get a fresh start in the mix. Maybe it depends on how much they really want to get into it or not. But yeah. And I guess that's really all the questions. You got any other things to say about it?
No, sir. Generally speaking, and enjoyed the show from start to finish. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, weekly watching is pretty good. Yeah.
I
Part of
mean,
the series I would.
it wasn't the
Yeah.
it wasn't the
Go ahead.
It wasn't the greatest thing I think Bones has ever made in that regard, but it's not certainly not the worst thing they'll ever make.
Right, yeah, it's not going to be
again,
like...
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's not going to end up on my, like, crap list or anything. It's still good. I think it's...
Well, yeah.
It's got some parts that are nice, but overall, yeah, I would say 7 or 8. I would agree on that one. And I guess if you survived listening to us this long, I guess announcement would be we're doing a Recross Season 2, or Weak Sauce, whatever you want to call it. We're doing that.
Let's just go ahead and call it Weak Cross. Let's not give in to any of the punters out there who want to dog the show or anything like that, shall we?
Yeah, so if you're interested in listening to that, we're going to do that episode maybe 2. I think Hoshi wants to do some written posts on it too. So maybe a mix of a bunch of different things for the next series.
空には吸い込まれるような青さが広がる。